American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. It's Sean Kennedy reporting you from the internet for Monday, February 16th, 2009. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your Headspace and Timing Rant Media. It's taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. Get to my live journal by going onto the interweb through the TV with the keyboard, and you go to Sean, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast brought to you by, well, it's not actually brought to you by, you know, I've said this about a thousand times. It's carried on. Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WMY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and every Thursday night at 7 p.m., right after Sim finishes his meal, we broadcast live at Second Life Node Archers, grid 155-74666, List for the Beast, which I, for some reason, used to think was Leap for the Beast, but it's really not, because that would have ease. And speaking of which, my very own seven-stomach-having vegan buddy, Samarian, my co-host. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I was captured for ransom last week, but luckily Sean was able to come through and rescue me without a dime being spent.
I was. The hell are we talking about here? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I missed last week. I missed. I wasn't
Right. Yes. Sorry. Not back in your play there. Yeah. Right. The ransom thing.
Oh, come on.
Gotcha. Hey, I got a head full of snot over here. You know how it is when you got that, you know, you got the cold on and it feels like you're trying to think through shampoo. You know, it's like, it's totally like, oh, wow, man, I'm trying to do Sudoku with head and shoulders over here. It's just not working. I mean,
I'll forgive you.
Oh, thanks, man.
As you forgave me for last week.
I did. It was actually really awesome because I got him next day. And, like, he's on the computer, right? And I'm like, I go, you left me hanging. And he still didn't know it. And he's like, oh, how? Like, totally just fucking wham,
like,
zoned.
What are you
right?
talking about, Sean?
What the fuck are you on about, you weirdo? Right? And I'm like, you left me hanging, in, you know, for the show. And he's like, ah!
Oh, my God.
It was so awesome. You know, he's like, why didn't you call me? And I'm all being the total dick. But I said, well, it's not my responsibility to keep you on task.
That's right. Sean was being passive-aggressive and making me feel guilty for missing the show.
I don't get a lot of chance to do that. It's a new, it's a new thing for me. You know,
normally, I mean, you would just call me and say, where are you? Oh, I'll be right on there.
It's like spanking Darth Vader.
Sean was passive-aggressive about it.
You know, it's like spanking Darth Vader. If you had a chance to spank Darth Vader and you got like a couple of paddle slaps in and he was getting really mad, I mean, once he gets out of there, he's going to totally rip your head off anyway. So you may as well just give him like a total pink bottom while you're there. And just be like, twack, twack, twack. Oh, 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 oh. Even if you choke the snot out of me with blue lightning, I'm still the guy who spanked Darth Vader. Oh, yeah. Dirty, dirty craziness. You know, and that's...
Am I Darth Vader in that story?
You are the Darth Vader of passive-aggressive, like, without a doubt. Like, oh, yeah. Easily. Right. That's what we need. We need, like, there needs to be, like, the Jedi, right? And you need to have the Sith, right? Because they're the aggressive ones. You need, like, passive-aggressive Jedi. Like, emo Jedi, you know? Who were like, when I was a young boy, my father took me into the desert. You know, it'd be awesome. You could just... Oh, yeah, emo Jedi. Yeah, I suppose as Jibcat said, you know, Luke was actually kind of an emo Jedi. He was kind of all confused.
Very true. He's always crying and whining.
Yeah,
and going,
he's kind of a whiner, Really, he really was kind of a whiner, you know, throughout the whole thing. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of people who are like, you know, if they, I don't know, you know, fuck that, man. If you were to come to me and hand me a lightsaber and be like, you get to be one of the knights of the universe, I'd be like, ah, rocket balls! Be flying around the ship, everything.
Stop complaining about it. Look at the toy you just got.
Yeah, I'm like, well, anytime I'm feeling bad, I'll just pop my lightsaber. You know, I've got a folding knife. And I've, like, totally played with that until the hinges almost wore out. If I had a lightsaber, it was just, like, 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
Can we stop that? No, that's really cool. You know, you can open this through a car door.
You'd be cutting through everything, just trying it out. Like, yeah. Can I cut through this? Yes. Can I cut through that? Yes.
Well, that was the nice thing about Episode 1, because when it did come out, you know, everyone was so jonesing for Star Wars crap that they had, like, the whole... You know, my lightsaber masturbation sequence in the beginning where, like, Liam Neeson's like, oh, there's this amazingly huge blast door. It was like a Ginsu commercial for lightsabers. It was like, the blast door, will it cut it? And everyone's like, whoa! You know, I mean, that was the big, you know, scene in the film. It was like...
It still slices tomatoes afterwards.
And it still goes through the blast door. And they even cut to the guys inside. They're like, it's still coming through. I can't believe it's Ginsu, you know? It's awesome, you know? It was just
as
like...
if they were going to offer lightsabers at the end of the movie in the lobby outside, right?
Man, all I need is one lightsaber. Just one lightsaber that functions that I put on eBay, retire. Retire. The master plan will then be, you know, the genetically two-handed cats would be en route. En route. But anyway,
so if anybody has a line for lightsabers, drop a line.
No. Yeah, dude. I mean, I've long since said if I ever had one, like if I could make them, if I had the secret of lightsabers, I'd release them 3 years later, but for the first 3 years, I'd just go to the Star Wars conventions and find, like, the most crazy Star Wars fan, and then, like, take him aside and go, I was sent from another galaxy, and you hand him the lightsaber, and, like, you must, you know, go and enforce the law. And then you'd read about these guys, you know, all, like, the, you know, downtown somewhere, there'd be some massive, you know, hostage taker or a bank robbery, and all of a sudden Buddy whips out the lightsaber and starts, you know, going to town. I mean, the video footage alone on Fox would just be like, that's the only thing we're missing in Cyberpunk, eh? If you had lightsabers in Cyberpunk, like, ditch every other thing, you just drop the lightsaber into Cyberpunk, that's some pretty sexy tech. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Well, they're not projectiles, so you do have a bit of an issue there.
Which?
You could take out a guy with a lightsaber with a gun.
No, you can't. Well, if you're not a Jedi. Yeah, because you got to be able
that's
to...
That's right. If you only have the lightsaber, you're pretty hooped.
Yeah, it's true, and, you know, there's also the whole, like, Alien Legion. For anyone who ever read Alien Legion, I believe the guy's name was Grimrod. He was a big guy with the monofilament wire. You can do a lot of that.
Oh?
Yeah.
Don't know that one.
No. Yeah, no, that's a really good comic. If you ever get a chance to check out, not Alien Nation, which is a great film, and was an okay TV show, but there was a comic called, unlike RoboCop, which is a fantastic first movie, a really good second movie, an unbelievably rocket-assisted downgrade third movie, and then a TV series that was actually, you know, from the depths of the Leviathan in Hellraiser. It was just, it was painful to watch. It's like, why are you doing this to my childhood? Much like what they're going to do with the new G.I. Joe series. I'm really upset about the new G.I. Joe. I've just seen a few screen stills, and I'm just like, wow, this looks like...
Not instilling confidence, no.
Large bag of poo. Large bag of burning poo. On my doorstep, and I'll step on the burning bag, and they'll say, Joe, it's going to be horrible. But, you know, I mean, maybe they could try a little bit. You know, that's what we need now. They're just going to slowly work their way through all the cartoons. We'll have, like, we've had Scooby-Doo, right? We've had Garfield.
Yep.
We haven't done Peanuts, you know. I think we should do, like, Peanuts.
That's true.
You know, Peanuts Crystal Lake, Nightmare on Friday the 13th, Peanuts. You know, where, like, you know, Linux and Lucy just, like, gets done with the chainsaw, that'd be pretty hot. That'd be hot.
Oh, yeah, they're just taking the list of 80s movies and TV shows and just crossing them off one by one. Done.
How long before a new A-Team? How long before a new A-Team?
Well, it's in the works. They've already, like, Ice Cube as B.A. Baracus.
What? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Ice Cube? Really? Yeah.
It's go look it up on Internet Movie Database.
Oh, no, I don't have to do that because I have you to do that kind of stuff. But seriously, really? Ice
That's
Cube?
That's a rumor. It's not confirmed. Rumor.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Mr. T.
And Woody Harrelson as
Murdoch?
The crazy guy. Who's
Murdoch. Murdoch, played originally by Dwight Schultz.
Which might be okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. He's pretty crazy, Woody Harrelson.
Woody's pretty good. He does do a good... It'd be nice if Murdoch was a little bit more natural-born killers. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'd be good if they did the A-Team.
As a mercenary group, just straight on.
Oh, yeah, like if they didn't make it nice, you know.
Like, take the intro for the A-Team and just work off of that.
Yeah, where you totally... Yeah.
The intro wasn't cheesy. The show was kind of cheesy, but the intro was set up. It was, like, all serious, right?
Oh, totally was. And the show is supposed to be serious as well. That's why I'm like, what if you were to just, like, have the same guys who did, like, The Saw.
Rambo.
Do the A-Team, right? You know, that kind of a thing where it's just totally like, wow, this isn't funny at all. Like, this isn't, you know, cheesy at all. I'm actually really afraid of the A-Team. You know, A-Team versus...
Chip Kep must be lying. He did not do a Bible audio tape, Mr. T.
No, he did not.
There's no way. No, I would have heard about that.
Anyway, don't talk. Links. Don't feed the trolls. They're all in the crowd.
True.
They're tempting you. It's like whenever you try to do the show inside of Second Life, it's a lot like that scene in The Exorcist where you have to do your part and I have to do my part. And meanwhile, there's like the voices of like, oh no, Damien, why do you come and do this to me? Oh, you're not my mother! You know, no, Damien, fight him! Fight them! The demons are out there upon the internet. Do not allow them to just sway you from your path. Save your servant. You know, that kind of a thing.
Perfect analogy.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, the more I'm looking into it, that's how do you think I came up with server? Save your server.
That's right.
Save your servant. Save your node. You got to know all that's going to be going in the new season after now. We got to get the more... Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
The esoteric cyberpunk. You know, there's steampunk. We got to come up with a term for, like, what I'm going to do with the whole occult punk. Yeah, the term is awesome. That's what we're going to... It's going to be awesome. It's
They're
be
like, just awesome.
It'll just be mind-numbingly... Like, you know, because if you think about it, like, the Cenobites from Hellraiser are very, very... Ooh, Geistpunk. I like that. Geistpunk is good from Yoko Saki Coronet. I like Geistpunk because that's... Geist is punk, is ghost, right, in German? So, like, Poltergeist, Betelgeist, yeah, so Geistpunk. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, make sure that you look in the chat and get that guy's name down because I want to make sure he gets quoted as the dude who phrased that. But that's a good term. But I got a bunch of you could say Yuko Saki Coronet. So copy that for me, Sam. Would you make sure I don't lose that?
Done.
Newsreel. I got some feedback. I got a lot of feedback. Some of it's pretty intelligent.
Excellent.
Too. So I want to get a little bit more user interaction here too. No, really. Like, you remember the guy who we got the crazy one when I played that Cypress Hill song. And and the guy was like, honestly, the dude, like, he sent in like another email after that, and he was like, oh my god, I can't believe you played a song. Thank you very much. And I wasn't trying to be offensive, and I think it really freaked him out that I actually played it. You know, it's like sending an email to Johnny Cash, and then Johnny Cash gets up on stage next time. You know, I read this email the other day. Is there a guy named Leon in the house? And you're like, oh my god! You know, you never actually expect
that. Just loses his mind.
Yeah, you know, boom, right? So, you know, hey, I do read the email. Sometimes I just pretend like I don't because I don't like what you're saying. Dear newsreel hosts, it is being argued.
Ooh, that's a new one.
Yeah, no, that's I've never been called newsreel host before. Hosts, plural. It is being argued that with significant biological engineering, a human being will no longer be a Homo sapiens, but something else. H+, Homo evolutions, Homo superior, blah, blah. I'm assuming that this is true. Now, this is the transhumanist thing, right? Okay, so you're up on
right.
This. You know what's going on with this. Does this mean that limiting a human being's ability to modify themselves, right, by limiting that, it's a form of retroactive genocide for a race that doesn't exist yet? If you think this one's weird, you haven't been on the show in a while. Okay, trust me.
Wow.
Yeah, this is what we do on Newsreel. We're way out there. Okay, you can't have retroactive genocide happening because you run into that whole, like, Doctor Who time paradox thing. Right? You can't get charged for crimes that you haven't committed yet. Okay? Just because you prevent something from happening, that's not retroactive genocide. I like the word, though. I think the words retroactive genocide is a great... You know, that's a
good band name.
Retro Geno. Yeah, like that's Retrocide. That's actually a really good
name. Retrocide.
Yeah, I like Retrocide. That's a good name. you slaughter
Nick
anything
handle.
Old.
Yeah.
But,
if I didn't have a handle, I'd go with Retrocide.
Retrocide's a good one. Retrocite is a good one. But, no, I think that, I think you should be allowed to do what you want to yourself. But, but that's a double-edged sword. When you do that, you can't rely on an unreasonable amount of support for making stupid decisions. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that if you decide to experiment on yourself, that means you can't use public hospitals in order to fix your mistakes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right now, I think our biological engineering with DNA is limited to creating new humans with alterations, not currently altering ourselves, because we'd have to inject ourselves and then slowly replace all of our cells in our body,
right,
with these new DNA strains.
Right.
So we're just barely getting there. I think they're experimenting with AIDS on that and changing somebody's, taking their own blood out and changing it, putting it back into them.
Right.
So we're just getting to the edge of that. But so I don't even know if there's any anything out there that's even preventing somebody right now from doing that.
Yeah, and any law
or anything, because it doesn't exist. How do you put laws in effect that you can't even do?
Or enforce them.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you enforce that?
There's always another country, isn't there?
Yeah,
that doesn't have the law.
Yeah, there's lots of people who are going to be, there's what we know about, right, which is published, and then there's what we don't know about. So you better believe that China and the first company that develops immortality, I mean, they got it. You know what I mean? They're going to be the new mega power, you know, because then you've got all the sheikhs and everybody. So even if you just, hey, super rich people, for $100 million, you can be immortal. Okay, would I be able to keep that in stock? No, absolutely not.
You'd be out of stock.
I would be out of stock. I would be queued the fuck up. And then those slots would go on eBay for like $200 million and stuff like that. Because there are like rich people dying right now, right? But I think you should be allowed to modify yourself. That's just me.
Yourself, for sure, yeah.
New one here. Hey, Sean and Sim. I've been a listener for several years now, but this is my first time writing in. On the last couple shows, you mentioned the violence that is occurring in Mexico regarding the drug cartels. This is a subject that I feel strongly about and thus felt compelled to write in. A lot of people talking about this. I'm getting a lot of feedback on this. My conviction regarding the matter is that most straightforward way to put a stop to this is instantly would be to legalize illicit drugs. This, of course, elicits a strong, probably negative reaction in most people. However, upon a more thorough examination, I think there is a solid argument for such a course of action. I'm personally against the war on drugs in general because I think it does much more harm than good, and many drugs that are currently banned can be used safely with great benefit in some cases. But that is a whole other discussion. Even for those that believe that illegal drugs are inherently harmful, there is still compelling an argument to be made for the legalization in response to this situation. I find it painfully obvious that the current kill or jail 'em approach that is being taken cannot work. Has been demonstrated repeatedly that when a cartel is successfully taken down, another will almost immediately take its place, often resettling in even more violence as power struggles ensue for control of the vacancy in the market. The reason for this is that the profits to be made from black market drugs are so great that unsavory people are willing to do anything for a piece of the pie. This is what gives the cartels their millions, will keep their power. Legalized drugs, the black market is effectively destroyed, keeping all that money out of the hands of these murderous scumbags. Of course, people argue that drugs being legalized will have harmful effects on society, but it's hard to imagine a scenario where this could be worse than what is occurring now. No, it's actually not harder to imagine that scenario, but that's okay. I'll finish this off here. I, for one, would certainly shed much less a tear for someone who made a decision to use heroin and ODs than an innocent person whose family is kidnapped or murdered by cartels, or even assuming that legal drugs somehow would cause more crime, which is disputable. I think that trying to jack your car stereo is easier to deal with than heavily armed cartels. It could also be said that murderous scumbags, being murderous scumbags, would just do more of the same of other form of crime. Even so, without the illicit drug market, they wouldn't have the massive amounts of funding and the numbers they currently do, significantly reducing the amount of havoc they could wreak. It seems like a logical path to me, but unfortunately, the social stigma against illicit drugs is such that even the suggestion of it being discussed is taboo. And we cannot give in to these evil drugs, since the violence that is occurring is associated with drug gangs. Drugs are, of course, associated with the cause, and when the face of it is prohibition of said drugs, that is the real cause. We only need to look at the huge surge in violent organized crime that occurred in the wake of alcohol prohibition in the early 20th century of the USA. Be very interested to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks, and long live rant, Catharos Dawn. So there we go. Now, my position on this, because this is something that I get a lot of email on this. This one was just a really well-written one, so I thought I'd try to crank it out there. Recreational drugs are a bad idea, okay, right off the top. They make you weak, they weaken your mind, and they weaken your body. There's a lot of people who say that that's not the case. That is the case. They weaken your mind, they weaken your body. Now, that said, they are a tool which can be used for good in some people. So the major problem, first of all, let's break it down. The drug war right now, I think that there is a classification problem. A lot of people, when they talk about legalizing illicit drugs, what they really are talking about is legalizing grass. And grass is, it's pretty hard to make it illegal because it grows naturally everywhere. So what I think they should do is they should keep, like, anything other than grass illegal. Like, you know, scratch that. Anything that's addictive. Anything that is addictive should be made illegal because that's just a too much of an easy way to enslave people. So that gets rid of your heroin, that gets rid of your, I'm not really up on my drugs, you'll have to forgive me. But as I understand it, weed and LSD and some, psychedelics are not addictive. And because there's actual grounds, like medical evidence that shows what is addictive and what is not. So, but addictive drugs should be banned. And that includes prescription drugs that are out there now. If a drug is addictive, it should not be used. And, we need to have a higher data sample of these drugs that we're just handing out to people. You know, there's not a lot of people committing suicide who are taking antidepressants who were smoking weed for years and years and years. Yet we got hundreds of people who have killed themselves on these other antidepressants. So my whole thing is understanding that using drugs for recreation are bad, and also understanding that you're only as good as your medicine and technology make you. I think we should legalize weed, keep everything else illegal, tax the snot out of grass, and the recession would be over. That would be my particular take. Now, where do you write in on this one, Sim? Like, where do you stand on the issue?
Just somewhat similar to you, but I would go as far as legalizing all the drugs, because people are going to do them anyway.
That's true.
And that would definitely wipe out all of the drug-related criminal activity if they're made, you know, cheap enough and supplied by the government and regulated just as much as, alcohol and tobacco, and people could legally obtain them without having to go into the bad part of the city and buy them off of criminals, and they can get tax off of them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, the other side of it, of course, is that the people would say, well, after these guys fry themselves, should we have to pay for them in public health care? You know, and I would.
Well, yeah, it's just like any other kind of addiction. We have to help out the people that are that have an affinity for that kind of thing. Like,
sure.
And LSD has all of a sudden become legal. I'm not going to go out and try it. And I would say a large majority of people aren't going to go out and try. But there's always that segment of the population. I mean, that is going to go in and do dangerous kinds of things anyway. And they may have done it already, even if it was legal or not legal.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
Legalizing or not legalizing thing is, it really doesn't make a lot of a difference to a lot of people, especially another example is music and movies, downloading them off the internet. There's a large portion of people are doing it anyway, and they know that it is illegal.
That's true. That's true. It's very accessible, and they're able to not do that. So it's an interesting. It's an interesting point to be made up. And as well, I mean, you know, motorcycles are definitely more deadly than some drugs. And motorcycles are legal. So, you know, I don't really see an issue here. But I think that also...
Definitely. Just add up the totals of what kills more people, and we'll see where the drugs are in comparison.
I think that there's other forces
other
at work here trying to rationalize with why, you know, drugs should be made legal. I think the reason why is you need to look at why people have made the drugs illegal. Because when you can figure out, you know, who's profiting, like, follow the money, and it's very quick to see where it's coming from. But let's go to some other mail here. I got one more here, if you can believe this. Hey, howdy, Sean. Had a bit of a thought in regards to the advertising kiosks that you watch you as you walk by. This was the last week's show. They got these advertising kiosks that actually watch you and, read your face and features and recognize you and then show advertising based upon what you've purchased, right? Specifically on how to fuck with them. According to these articles, they use facial recognition technology. So let's take a set of those MP3 sunglasses and strip out the existing electronics. Go for a first-gen set, no sense in wasting money. and then place in a wire with a couple of those fat IR red LED lights to a pulsar circuit and some batteries. In theory, the flashes of invisible IR light will throw off the onboard systems enough to impede functions. Of course, you'll also light yourself up like a Christmas tree to all the conventional CCDs in the area, so use this idea with caution. Hope this helps, Fat Ninja. Which I thought was, pretty an interesting idea. The one thing about using...
Interesting.
It is an interesting idea. The one thing about using the covert, blind yourself thing with the IR strobes, and I've seen some stuff on YouTube on that, is that it's really, really obvious, that you're trying to hide from the CCD, right?
Just like you said, you do light up a Christmas tree, and the thing you are blinding are actually cameras that are recording, possibly, most likely, especially in an area where they would have them, and then you would be charged for damaging somebody's equipment.
Yeah, which is not so good. So you want to be careful with that for sure. But I guess, in theory, it would work. Now, are you ready for this one? This is a great email here. I love getting these ones here. Dear Sean, S-H-A-U-N, okay?
Ooh, Sean of the Dead.
Sean of the Dead. Dear Sean, you sly dog, you. That's how it starts, okay? Now, let me get through this, because this is a weird one, and I may have to translate this for you, okay?
Okay.
Dear Sean, you sly dog, you. So I think on a subconscious worldwide level, we're reaching the next dimension, and we do things natural, not knowing the true effects of it. So in other words, humans do drugs to get high, but really, they're pushing forward in the worlds of conscious awareness. So when babies are born at this time of humans getting high, they take that high as their standard of consciousness and awareness, naturally, and then grow from there, possibly begin using telepathy and other godlike powers. So if these indigo children are going to eventually rule the planet, how do you think the Illuminati will think of that? And that is why they need this new world order to control these powerful humans with untapped power. I'll ask for your thoughts on this from Crux. Okay.
This sounds like a hippie gone conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I think, there's a little bit of the old, I think he's just exhaled about 10 minutes ago. But what he's talking about with the Indigo Children, just for, keep you up to speed on this, because I don't know how strong your crazy knowledge is.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Indigo Children are these, this is from like the aura reader crowd, okay? And there is a belief, there's a belief that more and more of these special children who have mystical abilities are being born all over the world. And they're called Indigo Children. Like, if you could jump on Wikipedia or whatever right now, look it up, and you'll see Indigo Children.
I'll believe you.
So they believe that these... Oh, no! This is what they believe, right? I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah.
So his statement is that, since maybe the New World Order is to stop these new, X-Men super beings from being born.
Sounds like a good plot line. Let's run with it.
I like it better than, it's better to live the lie you want than the lie they give you. So fuck yeah, man. I'm on your side, man. We need to get, these Indigo kids together. All the Indigo kids, come to the next Rand meet. We need to rise up with our godlike powers, man.
My enemy's enemy, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Can't take out the Illuminati.
We'll take them out, man, because we're out there on our own. Anyway, here we go into the news. Follow up. Now, this actual story here, this story here is really upsetting to me. Now, you may remember this. A while back, I did a report on a boxer who came home, and his son was being sexually... He caught a guy sexually assaulting his son on his front steps, okay, in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And he snaps, loses it, and beats the guy to death on the spot. Right? Catch a guy, raping your kid... on the front desk, just snaps out, beats him to death. They're on the spot. You know what I mean? So, end of the day, what does he get? He got 30 months for killing this guy. A former boxer has been sentenced for 2.5 years in prison for killing an alleged pedophile. Alexander Kutsunov admitted committing the crime, saying he had attempted to rape his 8-year-old stepson. It was early in the morning on January 1, 2008. Alexander Kutsunov claimed he was taking his 8-year-old stepson out for a walk. They got separated. He said upon returning home, the boy was standing on the landing, a man on top of him, a man with his pants down. Alexander, a former professional boxer, claims he was mad with rage. I didn't want to kill him. Blind rage just consumed everything, all the anger, the fury. When I calmed down, the police were here, and I was in cuffs. The man, a 20-year-old student from Uzbekistan, is named Baltasar Kalarov, died on the spot from head injuries. Yeah. According to Pamela Vayets, head of St. Petersburg Investment Department, the alleged pedophile, Bagshot Klavid, had no social life or criminal record, because I guess they monitor that. The St. Petersburg court ruled that the victim attacked and injured the boy. Kutsnov had previously served a suspended sentence for drug abuse. So, that story really upsets me. And because I don't think that guy should have served a single day. Okay? Like, at all. Where are you with this?
That's not unreasonable that he wouldn't go to jail.
I think it's totally unreasonable. Fucking unreasonable. That is ridiculous. But
what message is the court sending if they let him go for free? Do we want people exacting justice on the streets for whatever they feel like?
This seems justified. This was in the act. It wasn't. He didn't find out his son was sexually assaulted, and then he, you know, went and got his shotgun and went and extruded. He caught the guy in the act. So
I'm surprised because the news story says that the court ruled the victim attacked and injured the boy. So it sounds like they did find that the boy was assaulted, and this was trying to help out somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe they felt he went a little bit too far. I mean, you don't have to kill the guy. Just stop the attack and get the police there.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have to kill him?
Yes.
You have to kill him?
Yeah, chances are that guy's not going to cure cancer anyway. No, I tell you, you know, this is the problem. This is, you know, if the left and the right down in the States, if the Dems and the Republicans could get together on the seat, the Democrats don't want to kill anybody. See, that's the long and the short of it. Most of the Democrats don't want to kill anybody, and a lot of the Republicans are a little bit too trigger happy. You know, really. That's so what we have to do is we have to have a fine line. And you and I were talking about this the other day, like, you know, I'd like to see what the Vegan police force looks like. Would they be able to deal with MS-13? You know what I mean? Would they be able to handle that? I don't know. But in a situation like this, that's happy horse shit. I'm hoping when he goes to prison, you know, the other guys in prison, because that sort of stuff matters in jail, where they're like, oh, you remember that boxer who beat the shit out of the Skinner who was raping his stepson? Yeah. We're not going to touch him. He's just going to do his 2 years and walk away. You know, I hope since it's his stepson, I hope the boy's mother is waiting for him when he gets out, because, wow. You know, I personally, if I was in that situation, right, in Russia, knowing what I know now, knowing that the child would, like, if I didn't take this guy out, that I would, you know, because you don't kill him because he assaulted the child. You kill him so he will not assault another child, because we can't fix these people. Right, so you remove them from the equation so they cannot do more damage. The one child is damaged.
You wouldn't kill him because of revenge. That is pointless.
No, it's preventative measures. Right, so that's just it. You know, so knowing that if I had to beat to death a pedophile and serve 2.5 years for it, I would do it. Yeah, that'd be okay. You know,
and a lot of other people would do that as well. I would expect. I would like to think that we'd have maybe he's fed up with the laws in the country, and maybe it is horrible there, and they don't punish offenders, and that's what happens to societies when justice is not enacted upon criminals. The people take it into their own hands. I'm not sure of the climate there, but maybe it is that bad.
I think Moscow, Russia generally is pretty scary. I think that what we need to do is there's people who have a lot of knowledge of the books, and there's people that have a lot of knowledge on the street. And we have to find a way to get these two sides together, because, you know, I don't know, man. So far, I think that if I was going to move to the States, honest to God, you know, if I was going to move to the States right now, like tomorrow, I'd have no problem moving to a lot of the areas in the United States that, like, some of the areas I visited. I think Alabama's a really nice place. I think these places where they're really cool with guns and that they're really, really nice people. I've never had a problem with them. They seem like nice guys. They make pie. They have barbecues. You know, they have some funny little dances and tribal customs they have, and they wear funny hats. But that's cool. You know, they don't swear a lot. You know, they like to go and pray and stuff. They seem like nice people. You know, just
don't think I could get over the accent or risk myself actually adopting that accent, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think I don't know. I think I'd fit in pretty good down there. I think I'd do okay. And eventually, you know, we could warm up. We could save those people, Sim. We could save
them. That's right. Man.
We could save them. Okay. Happy sky clearance. I've been waiting for a story like this for a while. It's a good Max Hedrum.
Oh, yeah, this one.
From Outsider. U.S. and Russian communication satellites have collided in space and is thought to be the biggest incident of its kind to date. U.S. commercial Iridium spacecraft hit a defunct Russian satellite at an altitude of 800 kilometers, 500 miles over the Siberia on Tuesday. Now, bear in mind, these satellites are moving, right? Like, these motherfuckers
big,
are
fast,
hauling,
super fast.
Right? So that would have been wicked to see. Beep, beep, beep. Dashalai. Wham! You know?
Whoa.
It'd be awesome.
Spinning off
space. The risk of international, the risk to the International Space Station and shuttle launch planned for later this month is said to be low. That's awesome. The impact produces a cloud of debris, which was tracked into the future. Since the Soviets, that's
tracked
how it said, tracked
into the future.
Tracked into, that's a new Porn on Beta album title name.
Tracked into the future.
Tracked
there you go.
The
that's
there
bad.
You go. From our new album.
Good for GoSci Trance, yeah.
Yeah, what was our band name that we came up with earlier in the show? It was Retrocide. Retrocide's
Retrocide, tracked into the future.
That even works. You know, that's a good.
It does.
Yeah, that's Retrocide.
Oh, yeah.
Tracked into the future.
That's my new trance album.
That is. Yeah. Since the Soviets launched Sputnik in 1957, it is estimated that 6,000 satellites have been put into orbit. Satellite operators are all too aware of the chances of collision are increasing. The Americans are now following the debris path of the impact as hope that it will fall to Earth and burn up in the atmosphere. If not, it'll probably fall in the ocean. And nobody cares about the ocean. The concern is whether the debris will spread or pose any risk to the International Space Station, which is orbiting the Earth for some 435 kilometers below the course of the collision. According to the Washington Post, a NASA memo said officials determined the risk to be elevated, but they have estimated it very small within acceptable limits. Well, I'm glad about that, because if it was unacceptable limits, what the hell would you do about it? Do you have the ability to affect that? No, you really don't. You're not going to be able to stop that debris from crashing in, so, you know, it doesn't matter what color you make the alert. NASA spokesman John Yembeck said the ISS has the capability of doing debris avoidance maneuvers if necessary.
Wow.
Are we moving?
Get out the aerosol cans.
Are we moving? Meanwhile, there's a million guys with slide rulers going buck wild on the surface trying to figure out what the new... No, hit it again. Psh, no, you did it too much. Oh, my God. The friction from the slide rulers would ignite, and there'd be like, you know, this three-alarm fire in the NASA building. But anyway, he said this happened just on 8 previous occasions in a course of its 60,000-plus orbits. Officials say there were no plans to delay launch of NASA's Space Shuttle Discovery later this month, although that would be reevaluating that in the coming days. So I think that's awesome. When we start having, like, satellites crash into each other, like, that's so totally, you know, post-apocalyptic. That's just rad. That's just rad.
I was hoping that they were television stations, but they weren't. They were data satellites.
Yeah, that new Virgin radio station is out right now. Gotta say, I hate that a lot. And I hate that a lot because of their marketing and how they're doing it. I'm just like, wow, you guys suck a lot. You guys are like the total soulless monsters of the universe, I gotta say. So I'm not really liking that. So, you know, it'd be nice if, like, Virgin got taken out. You know, like, it'd be almost drowning in the
I hate to poo-poo on them because they're the one of the driving forces of getting people into space.
What? Really?
Yeah, the guy who runs Virgin, the guy who owns it, the crazy dude.
Oh, the Kenny Rogers wannabe dude? Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
I like him, though.
He's got loads of money and wants to get people into space.
Yeah, Richard Branson, yeah, I like him. He's,
yeah.
Because he looks like he's so high, like, all the time. He's like,
yes,
I'm Richard Branson, yeah, check out my hot bitches. You know, he's totally, yeah, you know, he's Richard Branson, yeah, you know.
He's like Batman, almost.
He is kind of Bruce Wayne-ish, you know.
Yeah.
But, so I like Richard Branson. I'm not crazy about some of the music and stuff on Virgin. But, I think...
Well, it's corporate radio. What do you expect?
Yeah, I suppose. I just don't like corporate radio, and I just because Richard Branson's cool. I think Richard Branson probably doesn't listen to his own radio station. I think he's probably got, like, you know, his Neil Diamond collection. I go and see Shiloh. Like, that guy's totally, you know, he's listening to Shiloh on loop in his cranial 96-degree brain. You know, that's where he's at. If that's if he's not, you know, receiving, you know, exotic hand jobs from European women he hardly knows. But anyway, in illegal bedtime story news, are you ready for this one, Sim? You wanted more copyright stories.
You're gonna, I do.
Oh, this is
blow
it.
Blow my mind, Sean.
This is it. This is the one.
Okay.
Amazon.com Incorporated, pushing further into the digital distribution of books, unveiled a thinner and faster version of its Kindle electronic book reader. Now, you remember this thing. It looks like an e-paper thing, right? They're kind of cool. I've seen them. I prefer books, but this is like a book reader. So you can keep like an entire library and you don't need to actually put out books. They're going to market it as green, so on and so forth, yeah. Right? But yeah. It's raising a controversy among publishers and others with a new text reading feature. Because it's a computer, it reads text-to-speech, right? Amazon CEO and scum dog of the universe, Jeff Bezos, displays the Kindle 2 ebook reader at an event on Monday. Our vision is every book ever printed in any language will be all available in 60 seconds, said Amazon chief executive Jeff Bezos at Monday's press conference in a New York library. The Seattle company also has a new work by best-selling novelist Stephen King called You Are, which will be available exclusively on Kindle. I love you, Stephen King. You are made of wind. Originally launched in November of 2007, Kindle has been so popular that it was out of stock over the key December holiday shopping period for the last 2 years. In an interview, Mr. Bezos said he expects to keep the Kindle 2 in stock. Kindle buyers surprised us, he said, on past demands. We've taken a lesson from that, and we are once again taking steps in terms of increasing our manufacturing capacity. Okay, so far so good, right? No problem. Amazon tweaked but didn't revolutionize the new Kindle. The new device lacks the color screen and can now display more shades of gray photos. Amazon said the new Kindle will cost $359, same as the original version, which will be shipped February 24th. Big ad for Kindle here. Kindle 2 is smaller than the first version of the product. It's great. It's wonderful. It's awesome. Some publishers and agents, however, expressed a concern over the new experimental feature that reads text aloud with a computer-generated voice. They don't have the right to read the book out loud, said Paul Aiken, executive director of the Authors Guild. That's what Paul Aiken of the Authors Guild said. They don't have the right to read a book out loud. That's been said by the executive director of the Authors Guild, which is sick and fucking weird that the executive of the Authors Guild would say you don't have the right to read that book out loud. That's an audio right, which is derivative under copyright law. An Amazon spokesman noted the text feature reading depends on text-to-speech technology that listeners won't confuse with the audiobook experience. Amazon owns Audible, a leading audiobook provider. It's possible that Amazon, which charges only $9.99 for Kindle bestsellers, will seek to pay less for ebooks and purchases from publishers. If so, it will likely face some pushback. WSJ's senior technology editor Julia Angwin speaks with reporter Jeffrey Farley about the latest incarnations of Amazon Kindle. All customers want better terms of sale, said Marcus Dole, CEO of Battlestorm's AEG's Random House Publishing Group. But we have a lot of invested in our digital technology, and ebooks are still a very small business, less than 1% of revenue. Amazon faces competition in the electronic delivery of books from other ebooks makers Sony and Plastic Logic as corporate, as well as cell phones and multipurpose reader devices such as Apple's iPhone. Reading is important enough that it deserves a dedicated device, said Amazon chief Jeff Bezos. I love that quote. Reading is important enough that it deserves a dedicated device for reading. You know, but the fact that they actually said that you don't have the right to read a book out loud, that is insane. That is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, that's nuts. That's beyond nuts. I don't know. You chime in on this. What do you think?
Content creators come up with the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
They are protecting their asses against technology that they are out of their control.
Right.
They're just scared. They don't know what to do, and they're coming up with anything that can protect their way of life rather than inventing new ways to make money.
Well, it kills me because just to have the executive director of the Authors Guild say that shit. You know, it's like, man, how long has it been since, you totally lost the magic, I don't know. That's
me. I know.
Me.
You don't have the right to read it out loud. Your current license only allows you to use your eyes to take it into your brain, not your ears. If you would like that additional license, please press this button.
Yeah, you know, and it'll be automatically charged. Like, no, that's fucked. That is completely
it
fucked.
Is.
So, yeah, but there it is. It's and I thought it would be the RIAA who said it, but no. It was the executive director of the Authors Guild, and for me, that just, well, it stings. You know, it stings.
They don't have the right to raid the bedtime stories anymore, Sean.
That's right. No more bedtime stories for the kids. Well, now for another piece of awesome punness for the show. Cyberpunk Kip, how about some Apocalypse Chow? Instead of Apocalypse Now, get it? Apocalypse Chow. Thanks to Mr. Thampin' Gods. This is so good. This is the ultimate in rocket balls. I'm talking about, you know it, fully cooked, ready to eat, 12 cans per case. For the first time in almost 20 years, canned bacon is back in the country. Not available in any store. More than 2 years into the development of this bacon, we're proud to bring the... I thought it was a joke. Scroll down, Sim, take a look. That is, in fact, canned bacon. Yes.
That's disgusting.
It's not disgusting. It's made of cheesy, chocolatey goodness. More than 2 years went into this bacon. It's awesome. Each can is 9 ounces of fully cooked and drained bacon. Between 2¾ and 3¼ pound of raw pork go into each can. Each can is the highest quality, fresh, number one bacon slices, cured to our specifications, cooked and hand-wrapped on the thighs of virgin, packed in the United States of America. We cook this bacon down for prior canning so you won't pay for all the natural shrinkage that occurs whenever you cook bacon. We then carefully drain out all the fat and liquid and can it so it will taste as good out of the can as it would out of the refrigerator. Yeah. Canned bacon.
Yum.
Guess how long this stuff's good for? How long is it good for? Come on.
Oh, canned bacon.
Canned bacon. What's it good for? Come on. Come on.
Well, if it's nasty, it's probably 5 years.
10 years, baby.
Wow.
10 years
of canned bacon. How much salt does that have in it?
That's sexiness. Sexiness. Ugh. 10 years of canned bacon. Woot. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Just like, yeah, Apocalypse Chow. That's going to be a new section for MREs and stuff. I'm just going to constantly have, like, the Apocalypse Chow.
Apocalypse Chow.
That's a good name. It's a good name. In antisocial news, and this was sent in thanks to Karate Lord. This was a very cool story. Now, we don't get a lot of these kind of little stories that get reported out of Britain and stuff like this, but this is one that kind of went in here. Over 180 children have been questioned about their activities on social networking websites in a police crackdown on antisocial behavior.
About websites.
Facebook and stuff. A police crackdown on antisocial behavior. Officers from the Central Scotland Police visited the homes of 182 kids after tracking them down through images posted on sites like Bebo. The force said crimes like serious assault, drug dealing, and alcohol abuse were detected in the operation. As a result, 72 vulnerable person reports have also been submitted. Ages of those spokeswomen by officers ranged from 12 to 18 years. Assistant Chief Constable Derek Penman said the sites, in particular the Bebo site, were acting as a conduit for a range of behaviors that were extremely concerning from a number of angles. He said, when we started looking, it became clear that young people from very early teens through their late teens and young adulthood were involved in open displays of aggression and other unacceptable behavior. Frankly, apparently, fueled by drink in many cases. Our key priority is to preserve the community safety and enhance child safety in the Forth Valley. So we decided to take this intrusive and robust but balanced course of action, which is significantly multi-agency effort dedicated to raising awareness of the overall issue and taking appropriate action where necessary. The crackdown was carried out by police in partnership with local authorities in Stirling, Frankrigg, Clackmanshire, and NHS Forth Valley. Assistant Chief Constable said the authorities would continue to monitor the situation over the coming weeks and further visits to young people involved in this activity or plan. He added, "This has been about intelligence led from the start, so that to tackle the long-standing problem of antisocial behavior, youth disorder, underage alcohol abuse, something our communities tell us is their biggest concern, which was being driven by young people's knowledge and use of the internet. The so-called internet. It's frightening. These good Scottish children, they don't get drunk. Will you give me a break? You're going to try to stop Scottish kids from drinking? Good luck with that. Good luck with
that. Well, advice to these children in the future, if you're going to commit crimes, do not film yourself or take pictures and put it on the internet.
Yeah, that's probably not a really great idea.
Not a good start.
Not a good start. So, you know, gotta have...
I mean, I'm seeing this every day in the news. People are oh my God, they looked at my Facebook account, now I'm fired from my job because I did this certain thing that goes against my job.
Yeah.
Like, or anything like that. It is an open thing. If you don't have your Facebook closed off to just your friends, and, you know, even your friends can rat you out. So... Don't do stupid stuff.
Exactly. A little bit more Sam Fisher, a little bit less Jack Bauer, if you please. Yeah, that'd be a little bit more of that. A little bit more of that. Now, again, another prophesy, which is unfortunately those good people down in Australia, they're going through a real shit show down there right now. But in AWOL bag news, thanks to RU46, bushfire victims have reacted angrily after being told they must present identification to get federal government assistance, despite most having lost everything they own. This is like a Monty Python skit. In an open letter published to the News Unlimited newspaper this morning, questioned the ability of Centrelink to quickly distribute payments of $1,000 per adult and $400 per child. News Limited journalist Gary Hughes, who escaped the fires of St. Andrews, said what he and others fronted Centrelink on Monday were told there'd be no financial help unless they could produce a driver's license or a bank statement. What that's meant to be, Kevin Rudd, some kind of cruel joke? Losing everything means just that. Everything. There are many like us who didn't have time to calmly pause and correct our wallets and purses as we fled our homes, most with wet towels over our faces, to joking to death on toxic smoke and flaming embers. Maybe bureaucrats would think more clearly in a crisis. But of course, had WOGs been there, they would have had their AWOL bag as laid out in Season 1 of Patrolling, which... You know, when was the last time that you watched Season 1? That's one thing I will say for Patrolling. It does have a high repeat watch value. Because the second time you watch it...
You can miss stuff around. It could give different meaning to you, especially in light of these kind of stories.
Oh, it's about the most metaphorical thing I've ever done. A lot of people, when they watch it the first time, they, you know, the whole thing about, you know, the importance of being clean and stuff like that. I've had a number of emails from people who've said that, you know, man, when I first watched that, I thought it was really funny and it was entertaining.
Well, yeah, they
and stuff
think
like
it's
that.
Satire and stuff, right? But it's not.
But when they go through it and they wind up getting into some heavy shit, that Patrolling speaks to people on a very personal level, and they begin to realize, wow, yeah, Sean's actually giving you like the default drills to stay alive in a major, major critical break. You know, which is what Patrolling is. That is, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, don't kill yourself and then just expect you to sit there and twist on a hook. We got to be able to light the candle rather than curse the darkness. You know what I mean? If I'm not going
to if you break them down, you got
to
build them back up.
Well, this is it. And everybody else is too busy crushing these kids into powder. That somebody's got to sit there and say, wait a minute, you don't have to die. You know, you can.
There is a plan.
There is a way you can get out, and that's what it's all about. How about this one here? Daily hack. Another good daily hack. How to crack a Windows password in 5 minutes. There's a number of reasons why you need to crack a Windows password. Simply forgetting what the password is, maybe. Or working on a used computer. Or you're downloading secret documents that you broke into a Chinese base for. You know, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Or your Windows went corrupt, and now you have to get all your stuff back.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to see what, you know, if
it's totally true. It's
if
totally
your stepdad
true.
Is cheating on your mom, you know, and you've got to kind of provide that, or maybe you want to frame your stepdad for cheating on your mom. You know, maybe you want to do that.
That's very true, yeah.
And could be done in a very short period of time, you know, because he's not your dad. He's not your dad. You don't have to take that from him.
Not my real dad.
He's not your real dad. You can totally just frame his ass. Anyway. So there you go. Help keeping the family unit related by blood. And I got some Recomedia too. I've got the somebody sent me the travel advisory from Mexico, which reads pretty funny. So I've linked to that. The actual official travel advisory from Mexico. They're like, yes, there seems to be about 30,000 troops firing at Mexican drug cartels. Perhaps Mexico is a good travel, but there's a war going on that no one's talking about. And wow. 21, I had one news story I didn't cover because I don't want to get into the individual battles, but there was like one news story from this week that I got from an Australian press site where there was 21 dead in one battle. 21 dead in one gunfight. Okay.
In Australia?
No, in Mexico.
Oh, and in Mexico.
It was Australian
news
covered it. Yeah.
That's a big gunfight.
That's, well, considering, you know, a lot of these, like, Iraqi car bombs and shit like that are taking out, like, 1, 2, maybe 5 guys, right?
Yeah.
21 dead? That's a lot of red mist. That is a lot of red mist, you know? So, scary shit, man. Scary shit. But that's all I got for you today. Don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this program, please distribute, get the show to people who can use it. But if you can donate, please do so by going to the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website, or you can go to my LiveJournal website, go down on the left-hand side, and subscribe! Rather than give me $20, $5 a month. $1.25. Buy me one beer a week. I'll entertain you for an hour. You buy me a beer. As a matter of fact, you can't even buy me a beer for $1.25. You can't even buy a pop for $1.25. You can get, like, shitty coffee for $1. If you would buy me one shitty coffee for a week, okay, and those homeless fuckers, they don't do anything. They sit there with a clever sign, looking pathetic, yep, patting their dog. Oh, my dog. He's so sad.
He needs food.
And you give those guys $2. All I'm after here, and I'm dancing for you for an hour. Come on. Come
keep,
on. Digital
keep
baptism.
Fueled.
Yeah, what's that? What'd you say?
Keep Sean fueled.
That's right. We've got to do
coffee.
This. You know, shitty coffee. $1.25. $1.25 coffee. Are you kidding me? That's how we roll here on Newsreel, man. We're hardcore. Digital baptisms.
That's right.
Digital baptisms. Caberlord is now called Unkill Able. So it's Unkill, like unkillable. And Able, like the... So together it's unkillable. But it's Unkill Able. Okay? Huh?
See hey, that? Funny. Unkill Able. That's good.
Yeah, very good. Not as good as Retrocide. I like Retrocide.
Hey, there's one for somebody out there. Grab Retrocide.
Yeah, we should. We should, seriously. I mean, maybe I'll do that for the next digital baptism. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@radio.com. If you like the music in the background, hey, it's Psytrance. What's not to like? What do you want to fade out with, Sam? What do you want for the last track?
Don't put me on the spot. I have no idea.
Would you have no idea? You've got all the music in the universe, and you have like Corey Footman. Corey Footman is now going to be known as Retrocide. That's what Corey Footman's name is. So he just got digital baptism. So
there you go.
So that one got handed out. So quickly go register that on Gmail. Yeah. So but you don't know what you're going to fade out to on the track. I like that John Coltrane stuff. Like last week, I had All We Want to Do Is Eat Your Brain. That's pretty good. That's pretty
that
good.
That is good. He's got some good tracks.
He does. I should fade out with some Porn on Beta. That'd be cool. I think I've got some Porn on Beta here. If not, I will get some. So what track do you want to leave with on Porn on Beta? How about Suburban Cowboy? Utopia. Do you have one called Super Utopia?
Sure. Yes, we do.
Okay, well, Yukasaki Cornet.
Somebody suggest that? There you go.
Yeah, Yukasaki Cornet. He was the guy who came up with the Geist Punk. Yeah, that's good. So
excellent.
Cool.
Full of ideas there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good. You know, that's the strength of it. That's what the network's all about, man. It's about, you know, any group of us is stronger than any one of us. And as long as we keep the connection strong, you too will be able to make it through. So, you got anything else there, Samuel Boy?
No, I'm pretty good.
All right, man. Well, until next time, that's what server said. End of line. One more can I say?